Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos, filling in for Sam Shad. Next, Sam is going to be here talking to Tom Cargill, professor of economics at the University of Nevada. Then I'll be back with our Power Pundit panel to talk about the immigration issue and family separation at the border. That's next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome Tom Cargill back to the program. He is Professor of Economics Emeritus.
Correct.
Of UNR. I got that whole title correct?
You got it correct.
Perfect. Pleasure to have you back on the program. Want to talk to you right off the bat in terms of economics and what we're seeing at the border right now, which is a huge political fight that is nothing new. Immigration has been a boiling point for both parties and factions within the parties for decades upon decades, but it's coming to a head now. It seems like the political pressure of the public being shocked at children being used as pawns by both parties is going to perhaps force the Congress to actually do something about immigration, because frankly, it's their job.
It absolutely is. And the immigration program here in the United States is nothing but chaos. A country has to have its borders, and we've had huge influxes of illegal immigrants coming in. Children have been used as pawns, mainly by the Democrats. In terms of, you know, if you don't allow open borders, you don't have a heart and all this sort of thing. But, you know, this has been going on for quite a while, separation of children from parents. And let me stand back and say something that might shock some people. When parents break the law, their children suffer. I think something is being lost here, that we are supposed to be a country of laws. And there's a deep philosophical reason why we want to be a country of laws, because it prevents tyranny. It prevents the abuse of one person, that is one person being able to abuse other persons or groups of persons. That's why we have laws. And when you start becoming selective and say, oh, well, this law we're going to ignore, that is deporting illegals and having a system that essentially allows them to come and stay here almost permanently, you become selective and you begin to lose freedom. This is not really a healthy development, and it's going to be unfortunate if the public their emotion for the plight of the children, and your heart does go out. But if we start deciding public policy based on that, bad things are going to happen.
All right, but now let's take an even bigger step backwards and look at the really big picture here, which is that immigration reform, which this country desperately needs, takes forever to accomplish. People who have watched this program can probably recite these statistics along with me. The last time we had major immigration reform, it began in 1977 in the Carter administration and wasn't resolved till 1986 in the Reagan administration. That's a long time, 9 years, of where this immigration policy was blown up innumerable times until the Congress really took a hold of it and made it work. The last time potentially we saw some kind of solution coming was when President George W. Bush, along with Harry Reid and John McCain, attempted it, and it was blown up because John McCain decided to run for president. So this is not a new issue, and you have multiple sides to this, but the biggest ones are that there are corporations in this country that do not want to see an immigration policy that restricts immigration of the kind we are seeing across the border, not necessarily because of the children, but just cheap labor coming into the country. They don't want to comply with E-Verify. They want to have nothing to do with it. And on the other side, you now have a very conservative part of the government, which the president is siding with, that says, hey, we want E-Verify. That would resolve this issue very quickly. So there's your conundrum right there.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree entirely. You've got one side, tends to be Republicans, not all. They want cheap labor. They don't care. They really don't care about culture. They don't care about borders. They don't care about long-run implications. And, you know, capitalism does have its downside because people focus on the buck. On the other side, you've got the Democratic Party, not all, but they want voters. And the trends are going against the Democrats in terms of the black community and even some of the Hispanic community. So they see that that block of voters, which they had relied on, 100% voting Democrat, that is beginning to weaken. And they see the influx of immigrants as a new future voting block that can maintain power. That's what led to the influx of the Italians and the Irish many decades ago. As soon as they got off the boat, they were handed literature to make sure that they voted Democrat. So you got both sides that really have a strong economic political interest in maintaining an influx of cheap labor.
All right, but on the other hand, and again, I have more hands than who knows, is that, you know, the Hispanic community for many, many years was a very reliable vote for Republicans and conservatives. From an economic point of view, from a religious point of view, that changed over the last 20, 30 years, but there's no reason that that cycle can't come back again because those people have not changed. To an extent, it was the parties and their messages that changed.
It's possible. It's possible. All I'm doing is
you
the
gave
way...
You gave me a possible there. Okay, I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's possible. It's also possible that Walmart may decide that it's not a bad idea to pay people more and not rely on cheap labor. So if you're going to admit one, you got to admit the other.
It's all right, but also, I mean, you know, and this is a conversation that's gone on many times. As long as you have people in South and Central America, especially Central America, that are making a dime a day, and they can go to Mexico and make a dollar a day, and they can come to the United States and make $7.25 an hour or $5 an hour, whatever it might be, you're never going to stop immigration into this country. It doesn't matter how big a fence you build. They will tunnel under it. They will catapult over it. They will come in through boats. And one other thing that I should point out is, where's the number one entry point for illegal immigration in this country, or out-of-status immigration, which is the ports of entry? People come here on tourist visas, overstay those visas, and they're never found, or they're not found for 20 years.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying. Probably the illegal immigration will never stop because of the economic incentives for coming here, the political incentives for coming when you look at the rest of the world. But that's why we as Americans should make sure we want to protect that. And that's why we do need a very sensible immigration system that's based on merit, We definitely need to stop chain immigration. We really need to stop lottery immigration. I mean, that's got to be about the craziest idea that anybody has come up with. You actually give out a path to becoming a member of this society without any recognition of where they come from and what skills they bring. And I do think we need more border security. And I do believe in
what kind, for example? Because we talk about the southern border all the time, but we have this really vast border to the north, and it's not like people aren't coming over that border, but we barely talk about it.
Well, not as much. And Canada, of course, has got an immigration issue, and they're going to be a lot less enthusiastic about immigrants using their country than Mexico is. I think Mexico, this is partly a way to get back at the United States. It's a long history there.
Well, partially it's because remunerations are sent from the United States back to families and businesses in Mexico, which helps keep their economy afloat.
Yeah, Mexico, I believe, gets more revenue from unilateral transfers than oil revenue.
Right.
It's a huge benefit to Mexico. And I think that we should have an e-verify system. I think if you really...
But will you ever get that through the Congress? I mean, especially with Republicans in charge of all three branches of the government, or I shouldn't say three branches, the Congress and the presidency, it's going to be very hard with the president's supporters to get e-verify through.
I agree, but keep in mind, when President Obama, in his first year, he had a supermajority. He could have done anything he wanted, and they couldn't do it.
Well, they only had, and this is the irony. They had the 60 votes in the Senate, and you can see what happens to either party when you only have 60 votes is that your own people start holding a gun to your head and saying, if I don't get this, then it gets blown up. Let's take a break because I've got other issues I've got to talk to you about. We'll be right back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Tom Cargill. He's a professor of economics emeritus at UNR, and we're talking about immigration. So here's the thing that kind of drives me crazy because it rarely gets brought up. But we're looking at a situation in this country where we're not having enough children to support the economy. People are getting older. They've stopped working. It takes 16 people for every one person who's on Social Security and Medicare to support that. We don't have that. The only answer is a form of legal immigration, whether it be just legal immigration to let people come into the country or whether it be legalizing some of the people who are already here, or potentially a majority of them. Is that not a real problem that we are facing?
Yes. A lot of societies in Japan, of course, is already in a period of declining population because of declining fertility. But, you know, the statistics show that it is true when Hispanics and Asians, that first generation, they have high fertility rates. But the next generation, the fertility rate starts to drop. And that very well could do with the fact that we're a very wealthy country and the cost of raising children is very high and the benefits of children aren't as great as they used to be because of retirement systems. You don't have to depend on your children, et cetera, et cetera. So
that's a very interesting way to look at this, I got to tell you.
Well, it happens to be correct.
No, I understand one rarely looks at children and grandchildren as an economic benefit, but I took us down that road.
people respond to incentives. Everything from working in the marketplace to deep personal relationships. I mean, even think about religion. It's a cost benefit analysis in the sense that, well, if you do good, you'll avoid hell. Well, I mean, somebody's making a calculation, and I'm being a little facetious here, but I'm trying to drive home a point that people make decisions in terms of benefits and costs. Now, a lot of the benefits and costs can't be quantified, and they're non-monetary in nature and deeply embedded in what's the human spirit.
Okay, but let me hold you because we've got about a minute left. So, but come back to my original premise, which is if we don't have immigration, our birth rates are not going to keep up, and we are going to head towards a crisis of dramatic proportions, maybe 20 years down the road, but we're just not going to have enough people to support two of the biggest things we need to pay for, which is Social Security and Medicare.
I agree with you. But you're not going to support these programs by bringing in low-skilled individuals that bring in their family members.
I'm sorry, because we're running out of time. But can we use Washoe County as the example here, which is we brought in lots of low-paying jobs, service jobs, for many, many years. Now we have the Teslas and the Switches and the Googles and all the rest, and now the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada is saying, now we're not going after any company, we're going after high-paying jobs. Isn't that what naturally occurs?
I don't know if you can. I mean, that is true, what's happening here. But it's because these entities are coming in want higher-skilled individuals. But
they're also saying we want to recruit companies that utilize these kind of people.
The kind that we have here. That's a typical government solution to a problem that is, okay, you've allowed a large set of relatively unskilled people here. Now we need some kind of program to employ them. It was sort of like when Hillary Clinton told the coal miners, you won't have jobs, but we'll create a program that'll get you a job. The economics are real simple on this. If you've got two sets of people to bring into the country, one has low skills, the other has high skills, you should always bring in the higher skilled people, period.
And that's where we have to leave it. Tom Cargill, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for being here. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with our Power Pundit panel. We have Dr. Eric Herzig with the University of Nevada. We have Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler and Chris Wicker, who is a spokesman for the Washoe County Democratic Party. Welcome very much, or welcome, not welcome very much. Gosh, that sounds bad. Welcome to the Pundit panel. Let's talk about something that, you know, it doesn't seem we've been able to avoid this in the news cycle, probably the last six or seven news cycles the last week, and that the family separations that are occurring at the border. You know, we see fingers pointing to, you know, oh, it's Obama, oh, it's Trump, it's the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security who was shouted out of a Mexican restaurant last night by protesters. I mean, you know, tough job. Not only does it not pay well, you can't eat in peace anymore. But, Chris, let's, you know, I know the Democratic Party has a perspective, you know, different perspective, you know, kind of seen this all over Twitter. So talk to us about what you think the policy should be.
Well, I think first you also have to identify how the policy got here. And the policy got here by reason of a Trump administration decision. I think it goes to Trump or Jeff Sessions to separate families at the border. Some of the members of the administration have said that the whole purpose of that was to deter families from crossing the border. The effect of that has been that the United States has appeared to be just a inhumane country that you know, is going against all the values that this country's held dear for hundreds of years. So the issue is, the number one issue is, you have to keep the families together. Obviously, the deterrence plan by Trump is not working. And number two, you have to consider, why are all these families risking life, limb, and liberty to make this trek? And you have to go back to some of the Central American countries and look at the horrific conditions there. And apparently, Trump's America First policy doesn't allow for us to look at the source of the problem, which is to try to help conditions in those Central American countries that are driving people out into the north of the border.
Marsha, what's your perspective?
I'm not sure the source of the problem is as big an issue as the fact that it's illegal immigration. I do, though, agree that we shouldn't be separating children from their parents.
I think everybody agrees that, you know, we shouldn't separate children. You
not
know,
everybody
from their families.
How can you say that when Jeff Sessions gives a speech saying it's tough, but we've got to do it?
It's wrong. It's just wrong.
Well, it wasn't wrong the other day when Jeff Sessions talking to the sheriffs and he's quoting the Bible. I mean, it's still wrong. The administration is all over the landscape.
Yes, they are.
It's deterrence. Oh, it's to keep these dangerous 7-year-olds from crossing the border and
2-year-olds
infecting the United States is what Trump said.
In defense of our president, he was talking about, you know, MS-13.
Which was a gang that formed in the United States and then went to Central America.
But I mean, we do have those folks coming here, and I will just give them a little, you know, I'm going to give them a little leeway here because...
Oh, you'll give him a lot of leeway, Paul.
I do. I don't agree with everything he does.
Over the landscape, and in about... I realize we're taping early. In a couple hours, he's going to come out with an executive order, and all of a sudden, he can fix this, where he said it was all Obama, it was all Congress, we're only following the law. I mean, each day it gets different.
Okay, but
Secretary of Homeland Security,
but it should be Congress.
She changed her mind.
It should be Congress. I mean, Congress does. They do set those parameters out, and then it's up to the executive branch, right? As a political scientist, don't you want to see Congress as the ones taking action?
I want to see
action?
Congress do all kinds of things.
They don't do.
They haven't been doing their job for multiple years.
Agree.
Okay?
Generations.
Trump or Obama. I wouldn't say generations. I can go back to the 90s, and they did their job.
Yeah, but they don't do their job now, and this is not the only area that they're not doing their job on. And so, from my perspective, relying on Congress to fix this is just a joke. The president has to do a presidential order to fix it because it needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now. I don't really care what the reason was. Maybe Congress put the law in place. Maybe Obama put the law. I don't care. It's wrong. And it needs to be fixed, and it needs to be fixed now. And the president needs to do that. That's his job.
Marcia is 100% right. The problem, the inhumane and horrible problem that we see today, was done by the Trump administration. It can be undone by the Trump administration. That doesn't fix the overall problem. But you have to think, what has this country become when we're pulling babies out of the arms of their parents to create a deterrence from people escaping horrific conditions? That's not the country I want.
Well, and who's going to take care of these babies? I mean, who's responsible for a two-year-old who now no longer has its mother or its father, and it's now in an orphanage for all intents and purposes, in a cage like a dog? I mean, give me a break. I'm as big a supporter of Trump as comes. Do I wish he'd do some things differently? Absolutely. Like, I wish he'd stay
on
Twitter.
But I don't think we can put this all on President Trump.
No, I don't either. I do not. But I think we put it on Congress. That's where, in my opinion, that's where it belongs. I think we put it on Congress. But America has to be responsible for the babies. It's not their fault they're being brought here.
Eric, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to wrap this up.
Well, this is a moving target. Trump's going to change the policy. It hit a nerve in American politics, and that happens every once in a while, where you cross some sort of line in public opinion, and you get that backlash. You can try to push it away for 3 days, which the administration tried to do. Now we're going to get a change.
All right. We're going to be right back on Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
Hey, Romeo!
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
I'll be back tomorrow with Washoe County Voter Registrar Deanna Spicula to talk about what happened with the voting machines last week. Thanks for watching and listening.